Good morning. Real quick here. The guy was gone, and I just want to update. I was at Tracy, and Ben was here speaking. And, man, what a joy it was to be over there. We have some men there this morning. Our men's Bible study for the next 4 weeks will be over there early in the morning, and then they stay for the service. Some of them are there. Some of them come back. But I just want to say it was a great joy just to be over there and to see them and to see the growth and then meet the new people that were there. We need to pray for our Tracy campus as they're meeting now and soon to meet. Just pray that, man, God just really moved. Such an exciting time just to see. It was also an exciting time for me to see as the students served our communion this morning. Last week we had last month a live group, this week students. But it was such a joy. We get a view that you don't get, and to see all of them lined up in the back as well, just serving and helping them going in. They did all the juice. They got everything ready. It's such a joy. We have some great students here. Mariah, you do a great job. Paul, you do a great job as well. If you have kids, you need to get them here. You just get them here. They need to be here. And thanks so much for our students who shared. You guys just rocked it. There you go. Thank you, Paul.
I can't preach with these on. I can't do it. I tried. Yeah, hold on. We're going to continue this week looking at the book of 2 Timothy, and I'm very excited to do that. I say it all the time because I want you guys to know, I really want you to understand that when I get up here, this is an honor. And this is a privilege for me to be up here and for me to be speaking to you guys. And so I don't take that lightly. We're going to be looking at 2 Timothy chapter 3. So if you brought your Bibles, I hope you have, you can open them up to 2 Timothy chapter 3. And we're going to look at verses 1 through 9. Okay. So Paul is talking to Timothy here. I'll move this back because I'm moving around. Paul's talking to Timothy here and letting him know some things. Letting him know there's going to be times of difficulty, that evil was coming. I mean, he was letting him know point blank, trouble is on its way. Now, we look at the human heart, and not really much has changed in the human heart in the past 2,000 years, has it? I mean, really? We still want, we still lust, we still have desires, we have plans for our life. We praise God, we ignore God. We talk to God, we don't talk with God. We come into God's house or time in with his people, and we have certain expectations that we place on that time that we're together. We have expectations that we place on God. We have expectations that we place on his people. And we have expectations that we place on the church. When they fail to meet that expectation, when they disappoint us, we say, well, we're done with that. And we abandon them. We look at a God who saved us. We look at a God who sent his son, Jesus Christ, the treasure of heaven, to be humiliated and beaten and tortured and then finally murdered. And we say, that's not really good enough. That's not good enough, God. Because also I have these expectations that also must be met. I have these things that I want to see played out in my life from you, and from your people, that they must meet in my life. And when that doesn't happen, we can get a little sideways. Well, let's see what Paul says to Timothy about that. In 2 Timothy 3:1, it says, understand this, that in the last days there will come times of difficulty. There's going to be times in your life when difficulty will come your way. There's going to be times in your life when you are dragged through the mud. Listen, we say it here at Grace all the time. And preachers across the globe say it on Sunday morning, that just because you've accepted Jesus Christ doesn't mean that your life is going to be easy. Right? And we say this, and we can agree, like I have agreed. Yes, of course. But are we actually believing that? Do our lives play out that way? I've had bad things happen to me. I don't walk this perfect life. I have bad things that happen to me. And in those bad times, I reach out to God. And sometimes I wonder, where are you? And how come you're silent? Sometimes my expectations bring me to this place because I'm expecting God and his people to respond in a certain way. I look at some people's lives and I say, man, they have it all together. If only my life was as complete and structured and... all agree that things are true. Let's all agree that I'm something way cooler than I am, so that that can be truth. Right? We can't live by that truth, because then we get to decide what's true and what's not. And God goes, no, I do that. Why? Because you don't have the power or authority to do that. So stop trying. The problem is that when we go through this life and we believe that we're not going to encounter any heartache, any strife, any calamity, any objections, any evil, or any difficulties. See, when that happens, we set a false expectation on God that this is what's going to happen. And we hold Him to that. We hold Him to our own expectation and say, okay, God, you're gonna do this, right? But you haven't. So why haven't you done that? When we do this, we set the trap. We set it. And then we walk into it unknowingly. We wonder why we're stagnant. We wonder why I don't feel God. How come He's abandoned me? But the real issue is, let's just be real for a second. Your life isn't turning out the way that you wanted it to. And I don't hear God, and I'm crying out for this. Maybe you don't need that. Maybe God is silent for a reason. Maybe we, as His people, need to start adjusting our expectations of Him. What's a trap? Let's define it. Let's do it. A trap is a device or enclosure designed to catch and retain something, typically by allowing entry, but not exit, or by catching a hold of a part of the body. See, these traps, these snares are hidden into the surrounding brush, into the foliage, so as to hide it, right? So when somebody walks by, they don't see it. The animal, whatever, you're a cannibal, I guess, the person, right? They don't see it, right? We've seen it, right? I think it was Robinson Crusoe, they put the leaves over the tiger pit. You guys remember that? And they caught the tiger. I'm probably making the movie wrong, but the leaves over the tiger pit, the brush scooped over the snare, the leaves and branches hidden all around the trap so as to disguise it. Do you realize that when we hold God to these false expectations, when we say, okay, God, this is what you're going to do, and then I'm going to set you to those and hold you to those, that we set the trap, that we hide the trap, and that we walk into it? See, the crazy part is that when we trap ourselves, the blame doesn't fall on us, though, does it? It's never like, I can't believe I totally trapped myself. It's everyone else is doing something that's messing with me. What's going on? And then we turn to the one who controls it all and go, what are you doing? How come I'm snared? And He's like, I watched you put the noose around your leg and go, I watched you snare yourself. It is of your own doing. Now I know this. I know as I'm writing this, okay, I know this seems crazy. And I even wrote on here. Now you might be thinking, who actually does that? Who actually places these false expectations? Because I know as I was writing this, I'm thinking in my head, I would never do that. That's obviously not me. And probably 99.999% of you are thinking the exact same thing. But hold on a second, because we're really going to dive into that and look at it. There's a lot of people that think this way, more than I would like to admit. And most times they don't believe they're doing it. So ask yourself this morning, really ask yourself, are you placing a false expectation and or expectations on God? But I mean that. Do you walk in here just to feel good about yourself? Hoping that by feeling good about yourself, that your life is going to turn around in some sort of way. That's a false expectation. This one's going to hurt. I guarantee it. To some of you, tithe to this church, give to God, expecting a blessing in return for Him, saying, okay, God, I'm going to give you this. However, I've got some areas in my life that need some fine tuning that you could go ahead and handle for me. That would be great. Bill says it all the time that God is no man's debtor. You come in here simply seeking to exist within this place, but not to reach out and to form relationships, but just to exist here. See, that's not how this works. See, that's not God's design for the church. That's yours. And it's broken. It's wrong. See, many times these times of difficulty that Paul is talking about are brought on by us. And see, that's where we're going with this, is we're always looking and saying, where are the times of difficulty coming from? And I'm going, hello, let's do this real quick. Let's just look at us before we start pointing the fingers at everyone else. You're going to be dragged through the mud in this life. Guaranteed. You're going to be dragged through the mud. Do yourself a favor. When you're through the mud, stop and take a look behind you and make sure that you're not holding yourself down. That you're not the one pushing yourself down into the mud. 2 Timothy 3, 2-4 says, "For people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God." Are we not seeing this type of behavior? Are we not seeing this type of behavior manifest itself within the church? We are. And it's growing. When we talked about a trap, they say many times a trap is used to catch a part of the body. Well, your eyes are a trap. Your tongue is a trap. Your feet are a trap. And your heart and your mind are traps. We need to be recognizing that. The Bible says in Jeremiah 17:6 that the heart is deceitfully wicked above all else. Who can understand it? A very famous pastor, John Piper, calls the heart a want machine, saying that all it does is want, want, want more and more. But I'm going to call it the biggest trap you can encounter. Why? Because it's the thing that's closest to you. It's the thing that you believe that you can fully trust. Your heart. You. Oh man, I'm like the worst at those parties when people are like, follow your heart. I'm like, no! It'll lead you astray. Don't follow that thing. Whatever you do, don't follow your heart. Follow God. Paul talks about how people will be lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. You know that pleasure is described as I thought this was interesting, a happy feeling of satisfaction or enjoyment. Not just a feeling, but a happy feeling of satisfaction and enjoyment. And so we as Christians, what do? We want this. We want this pleasure. So we pull away from God and we dive into the world, seeking our passions and pleasures, not understanding that what? The more we lean away, the more we lean into God and away from this world, the more we are truly satisfied. The more we are truly fulfilled and have an enjoyment that we can't even describe to people. Yet we forget and we go, man, my passions are looking really good right about now. I'm going to go ahead and lean just a little bit more this way. Just a little bit more this way. We get the satisfaction from understanding that we're on God's plan and we're walking with Him through our life, not our own. 2 Timothy 3:5 says, "Having the appearance of godliness but denying its power, avoid such people." Listen, we're going to encounter difficulty. And we're going to encounter difficulty in the place where we believe things should be easy, where we believe things should be perfect, and that's here in God's house. Yes, people bring in their anger, their jealousy, their greed. They bring in their sadness. They bring in all of those things, right? And there are many churches that say, hey, leave those at the door. But we don't hear. We say, you bring them in here, and you leave them at the cross. That's where you leave them. See, okay, if you walk in here with those things, you're going to have times when you don't act perfect. Listen, I've been the associate pastor here for 4 or 5 years. It's been a long time now, and I wish I could tell you that I've handled every situation with pinpoint 100% accuracy. But I'm human, and I make mistakes. And I've said things and been like, man, was that the right call? I'm going to make this call. We're going to see if this works. And it hasn't been. And I've had to go back and be like, hey, sorry about that. Extend grace and mercy. But here's the deal is sometimes when we're hurt from a place that we're expecting it, it's easy. It's easy to take. But when we're hurt from a place that we're not, it's very, very hard. We have the appearance of godliness here, but we deny the obvious power that resides here. And it's not because we built this wall with holy wood. No. It's because we know that when two or more are gathered in His name, He is here. He is here this morning. Is there something that you want to tell Him? this morning? Is there something that you want to give to Him this morning? Maybe your anger, maybe your sadness, maybe your jealousy and your confusion. What do you need to say to Him this morning? Because He is here. We need to be thinking about that. We need to be looking at those things. When we look at people that are so negative, they can drag us down. They can. And we come to those people like, okay, and then all of a sudden we're, should we avoid such people? I'm going to tell you, I don't think you can. Because they're everywhere. They're everywhere and in everything that you do. So if you went around your life just trying to avoid them and taking that so literally, that's all you would do. My thing is engage them. Talk to them. Listen, encourage them, admonish them. That means correct them in love. Right? Bill talks about it, how some people in this church believe they have the spiritual gift of confrontation. They go up to someone. But let me tell you what, if I see you slipping, if I see you sliding, then as a brother or sister in Christ, it is my obligation to say something to you. In love, right? But we go, well, I don't want to upset that person, so I'm just going to let him slide right off the cliff. But I don't want to upset them. What are we really doing? Because you're going to see difficulty. You're going to see all those things we talked about manifest itself right in here. What's going to happen? 2 Timothy 3, 6-7 says this, "For among them are those who creep into households and capture weak women, burdened with sins and led astray by various passions." I want you to know what it looks like to be led astray by a passion. And I know what you're going to think when you're thinking this. You're going to think, this seems ridiculous. But this is how I see it playing out. You want to learn how to cook. You love cooking, but you don't really know much about it. So you decide that you're going to take a cooking class. Hey, it meets every Wednesday for 8 weeks. And you're going to learn all about cooking. Listen, we're not just talking about baking. There's a whole heck of a lot of stuff to know about cooking. And so you decide to meet on that Wednesday. But your small group meets on Wednesdays. So you're just going to take a break. You're just going to take a break for 8 weeks and come back. See, the problem is that what you've done is you've replaced a passion with a passion. You haven't made room for another one. You've replaced it. And so when you get to Sunday morning, hey, we're busy. We have 2 days off a week, and Saturday's the day where we household chores and family stuff. And then Sunday's the day where we can go to church and then do a whole bunch of stuff. And you pack things into your weekend. I know, my weekends are the exact same way. And then all of a sudden you want to find time to cook. And the only time that you really have that's not connected to someone and something else is right here. Because this is your time with God. This is not your time with your husband and your kids. This is your time with God. And so you can make that judgment call and that sacrifice. And you do. And say, okay, well, I'm just going to miss one, but I'll come back. But see, here's the deal is you went from Sunday morning and your midweek refill. So that you're being filled and you're moving forward to no fill. And your passion for God completely replaced. Listen, I'm passionate. The guys in the band and my friends can tell you I'm passionate about a whole heck of a lot of things. Probably too many things. But what I need to make sure that I'm doing is not letting a passion that I have diminish or replace my passion for God. And we do. We do far too many times. We can have multiple passions. We just have to find a time to fit them all in. John 14:26 says this, "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I've said to you." If accepted Jesus, then you have the Holy Spirit living in you. And if you have the Holy Spirit living in you, then Jesus has some things to say about Him, that He's going to teach you all things, meaning He's going to help you comprehend God's Word. Without the Holy Spirit, it's difficult, impossible to comprehend God's Word, and He's going to bring to remembrance those things that He promised you, those things that He told you. They're not lost. They're just buried. We go through our life and we get all this new information and just packs on. We need to keep those things of God, those promises of God to the surface. And the Holy Spirit can help us to do that. And convict us of the path we're going down. When we look at difficulty, when we look at expecting difficulty, when Paul says, expect difficulty in your life, you're going to have it. You're going to have it from the place you didn't think you would, in church, from you. Listen to this. 2 Timothy 3, 8-9 says, just as Jannes and Jambres opposed Moses, so these men also opposed the truth, men corrupted in mind and disqualified regarding the faith. But they will not get very far. Their folly will be plain to all, as was that of those two men. Oppose the truth and they're corrupted. They're not qualified. But you're going to encounter men and women such as this. You will encounter these people. This type of evil, yes, it resides, and guess what? It resides on a pulpit Sunday morning in many churches. Here's my deal, is that Bill and I, we love you. Our staff here, we love you. And any person that gets up in here, you can bet your behind that we have said, this is what we believe, and this is what we preach. We preach truth and truth only. But we can't control Baptist church here, church over here, church there, church. We cannot control what they preach. However, what we can do for you is to say, test and approve, as it says in Romans. Take everything that we're saying and approve it yourself. Why? So when you lead to difficulty, when you lead to someone preaching evil to you, heresy to you, blasphemy to you, you can say, no, that doesn't sound right. I'm going to go ahead and check that for myself. See, we've talked about it a lot with our high schoolers, and I say, if you want to own your faith, then own it. Then take hold of it. And in order to do that, you have to test and approve the things that are being said. Because you're going to go off and you might go to college and you might change churches. And hey, your life might take you somewhere. God might take you somewhere. And if you're just taking everything at face value, you're missing it. Yeah, I love you. You know, there's been times when I first started preaching here that I had the wrong address to a verse up there. And just, I was like, bleh. And like one person came up to me and was like, yeah, I was following along and you had the wrong address. I was like, whoa. I would have expected more people to do that. But we're not checking. We're just going, 2 Timothy, I'm sure that's what it says because it's on the magic screen. We can no longer do that. Why? Because we have people by the thousands being led astray. By the thousands. And they believe they are being fed truth. When the evil and when the difficulty are coming from the very person they should trust. Test and approve. Know what it is you believe. You have to own your faith, because if you don't, it will slip right through your hands. It absolutely will slip right through your hands. I want to encourage you, though. I know we spent a lot of time talking about difficulty, talking about ourselves, and that's okay. But I want to encourage you this morning that you can do something about it. Our bassist, Justin, over here, he's a Facebook extraordinaire. He's always on there. And he says something. I'm sure he quoted it from somewhere. But he says, be the change that you want to see. And I love that. I love that, because we have people coming here and going, well, you know what? This church could really use this, this, and this. And my question is, what are you doing about it? Well, we really should do this, this, and this. Great. When are you going to start? We are the church. We're not the church. We are the church. So, we have to set our expectations properly. I want to encourage you to be the change. These afflictions, these difficulties that we have, they're momentary. They're light. And it says in 2 Corinthians, listen to this, 2 Corinthians 4, 16-18, so we don't lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day, for this light and momentary affliction is preparing us for an eternal weight of glory beyond all in comparison, as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, they're fleeting, but the things that are unseen are eternal. Please don't give up on God. Don't give up on His people. Don't give up on His church. We're being renewed each and every day. We're going to experience that calamity, that difficulty, and I'm telling you that it all happens for a reason, that everything that you're going through happens for a reason, that every single piece of it has meaning. And it doesn't matter what your affliction is. It says that it's light and it's preparing you for something. For the eternal weight of glory, the thing that we can't even wrap our minds around. And of course we don't see it. Because it says don't look to what we can see, but look to those that are unseen. Let us focus on God and keep our focus strictly on Him. I wish that I could say that I handled everything perfectly. You know, I shouldn't need to say this, but I will, in case we forgot, that this church is made up of human beings. Human beings that are fallible and broken. Human beings that make mistakes. When you have difficulty, when difficulty arises from the place that you believe it shouldn't, how do you respond? Are you going to ask the Holy Spirit in you to guide your words and actions? Are you going to ask the Holy Spirit in you to remember what God says about grace, to remember what God says about forgiveness, to remember what God says about love, to remember what God says about other people and how we are to look to them before we look to us? Can we remember that? Because you will have times of difficulty. Paul told Timothy to expect evil, to expect difficulty, and the same holds true for us today. We should expect that. What's going to be our response? When calamity covers you, when difficulty strikes, when the cup of your life is shaken, busted. See, when we fail to respond in love, when we set these expectations and fail to respond in love, we set the trap and we walk into it. Maybe that's the biggest trap of them all, is that we failed to realize that it's us all along. It's always been us. You're going to have times of difficulty in your life, in this church. People are going to hurt you. What will be your response?